ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Introducing your host from New York, here is Sam Roberts.
That's right. Welcome. Welcome to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Another fabulous episode planned for you today. Oh my gosh, is it going to be fabulous? I mean, they're all very, very good, but this one is especially fabulous. There's a lot to talk about in the state of wrestling. Katie Linendahl will be back here with me. She was very, very missed last week. She'll be back here with me in the state of wrestling in a little bit here on the podcast. And there's a ton to talk about. I guess it's WWE related, but give me a break. It's not all just WWE. I want to talk a lot about the people that have been rumored to possibly be returning, you know, on the success of guys like Sting and Brock Lesnar and the Dudley Boys. There's a lot more names now being thrown around in the old rumor mills as far as who may be returning to WWE, old familiar faces. So we'll get into that on the state of wrestling. We'll also talk a lot about what happened on Raw and what, you know, didn't happen. But still, you know, there's enough on Raw as I watched it to discuss. I want to talk about the horror show that was Sting's wardrobe. That's for sure. That will definitely be addressed. I mean, you remember, any long-term listeners of the podcast remember what my most dreaded fear was leading to the Sting WrestleMania match in terms of watching Sting enter a WWE ring for the first time. Did it happen at WrestleMania? No, but my fear was, well, it was met on Raw this week, so I'll talk about that in the state of wrestling. But first, my guest this week on the podcast, it's not a new interview. It's an interview I conducted, and it's already on YouTube. So if you want to see the video of this interview, you can look it up. It's on my YouTube channel, Not Sam. But I was inspired to put this classic on today's podcast because it relates very much to the feud that's going on right now between Kevin Owens and today's guest, Ryback. I interviewed Ryback right before WrestleMania 29. That will be the interview that we play on today's podcast. And the reason I decided to play it was this was years before there was any mention of Ryback reading this book, The Secret. I thought it was a very entertaining segment. I love what Kevin Owens is doing. He's making his segments count, I think. And he did it again on Raw on Monday, but Kevin Owens brought out the book, The Secret, and made a mockery of it and called Ryback weak for reading it. Now, I'm very familiar with The Secret. I've read the book. Do I subscribe to all of it? No. At one point in the book, it says literally that the reason people are fat is because they're thinking fat thoughts, and that people lose weight if they get rid of their scales and just think skinny. You know, are you going to think your way to skinny? No. Unless you're thinking about being skinny while you're on a treadmill and eating vegetables. But there are, you know, things you can take from that book to make you a better person. That's for sure. I was very, very taken aback when I first found out that this was something that Ryback legitimately subscribed to. And I didn't first find that out when he mentioned it on Raw a while back. As I said, it was years ago when I sat down with him, and it came up in our interview that he was able to get through his injuries and stuff. This is all very legit. This interview, again, took place way before positive thinking or The Secret or any of that was part of storyline at all. I mean, way before. So that's how I know it's legitimate, and that's why I think it actually adds, because it's weird. When you're watching, you kind of feel like if you didn't know that this was something that a writer came up with to try to kind of cash in on a craze. And you would think to yourself, well, wasn't The Secret like super popular a couple of years ago? Shouldn't they have been doing this back then? Maybe, but you certainly, and watching it, I don't think I would think that this was based on Ryback's actual personality. That this is something that they found out about him and said, oh, let's utilize that in the storyline. But it is. But it is. I absolutely guarantee you it is. And I know it is because of the interview that I did with him right before WrestleMania 29. If you remember, WrestleMania 29 was his match with Mark Henry. That was a weird one. Because he got his, I guess, theoretically, I mean, it's never really been replayed. It hasn't. In the years since it's happened, it hasn't been replayed. But he got what he thought would be his WrestleMania moment when he got Mark Henry up in his finisher. But if you remember, it was a very weird match for him because he lost. Like, he was in the middle of a build, and he lost the match, and everybody kind of scratched their heads on that one. I still, to this day, don't really know why he wouldn't have beat Mark Henry that year at WrestleMania, and they could, but, you know, whatever. It was a while back, but I did want to make this week's interview, as it relates completely with Ryback and his story about The Secret and his current feud with Kevin Owens. So here it is, Ryback, this week on Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast.
And now, the Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast interview.
Ryback is in front of me. Ryback, you have a very intimidating aura about you. You really scare me.
No, I get that a lot, believe it or not.
So. Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
Apologize for the voice. It's from screaming Feed Me More 5 nights a week. So it's.
I just assumed that was your voice.
A lot of people do. It actually fits with everything, so it's not a bad thing.
Yeah. But, Feed Me More. It's amazing. How did it feel when, quick too, you come out, you start doing this Ryback thing? Because you started, and you were called Skip Sheffield.
Yeah.
And you were in the Nexus angle, and you were kind of nondescript big dude.
Yeah.
And then you disappear. I guess you were injured?
Yeah, a huge injury out of a year and a half.
So. What was your injury?
I broke my ankle in three places in a tag match in Hawaii against the Hart Dynasty. I was tagging with David Otunga. We were just talking about this over there. Took a drop kick. I pretty much, long story short, I got my new boots, and they were made too narrow, so my foot was very unstable. Took a drop kick and tore my ankle out in three places.
So those boots are not just for fashion?
No, they need to be exactly, precisely measured, and I messed up on my measurements a little bit. Now we got it fixed, thank God, but I popped up, I broke it in three places, and finished the match running with my ankle dangling, and spiral broke my leg all the way up below my knee.
Wow. So when an icicle breaks or something, and it just goes all the way up?
Yeah.
That's incredible. I didn't even know that.
Because I broke my ankle initially in three places, and then with every step that I was taking finishing the match, it just kept breaking up further and further.
Wow. Could you feel that?
Yeah, it was horrible. It was.
And, like, the pain, it just started getting higher and
higher? Higher and higher, yeah. It was unbelievable. My ankle literally was, I don't even know how I ran on it, because it was, like, twisted and,
just crushed up and stuff?
Not good.
Oof.
So, doctor, though, botched the entire surgery. And
he did?
Yeah, unfortunately, but it's actually been a blessing in disguise. And
dude, if a guy your size is under for surgery and you're just like a weaselly doctor, you better make sure you get it right.
Yeah, exactly. And
plus, all your parts are so big, you'd think it'd be easy.
This guy sucked.
He did.
Yeah, and he put metal through all my nerves. I lost function of my foot, and I couldn't walk. I had two surgeries. I was out a year.
And you were a rookie.
Yeah.
So it's like you're sitting there, am I going to get another shot at all?
And that's, you know, I'm very thankful for WWE. They stuck by my side, and, you know, I was on TV very briefly, but we were going on pretty much potential. And, we knew what we had, but was I going to be able to have a chance to come back and do it was a whole other question. And they took the metal out of my leg, a third surgery. I was told by three doctors I would never wrestle again. I could barely walk, and I was literally just staying positive, and got into doing meditation and trying to make the best of this thing. And I knew deep down.
Meditation?
Yeah. Like, I just am, like, an hour every day. I'm just controlling my thoughts and telling myself my nerves were going to grow back. And
wow.
Because that was to that point of doing 6 hours of rehab a day. You know, just what else do I do?
Do you think that helped?
I believe it helped tremendously. I, to this day, still do it. Like, Sunday, I'm not even remotely nervous at all. I am confident and just
having
control. And yeah, I believe it's just all having control of your thoughts.
That's amazing, because a guy your size and, like, with your voice.
There's a lot to me, people, yeah.
You'd think that you're just, like, all day on Sunday just pumping iron and just get.
That's why I call myself a mental machine. And, like, that's not, you know, I read all the time. And, like, I'm.
What do you read?
I'm a lot of big under, like, just positivity books, Law of Attraction, and
The Secret.
I live my life. The Secret changed my life years
ago. Wow, look at you!
People don't have I contribute everything I have to the book, The Secret, honestly, believe it or not, and many other different forms of stuff like that. But I believe we have control over our thoughts, and
And you think that kind of shapes your destiny, you think?
Yeah, really, yeah. Firmly. I'm a big believer in all that, that our thoughts are energy, and the whole life is all about energy. So that stuff will all come out in time with Ryback. Right now, we're a little more just the caveman stage. So,
right.
So.
Right now, it's like, what do you mean he talks?
Yeah, we've been very limited on what we've done. So
you should be a motivational speaker, though, because like when a little guy is like, oh, the power of positive thinking, everybody's like, yeah, shut this guy up. Yep. If you come out there and you're like, it works.
It needs a little more,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, whatever you say.
No, that's actually one of my goals is to actually do that.
To be after this?
No,
to be
even with during this. So wow. I want to be with WWE. I'm here, like, no matter if I go in and I'm able to, I'm lucky enough to do some movies and whatnot.
Yeah.
And, I want to stay here, and I want to be a part of WWE for the rest of my life. And I've told them that, like, it's in some capacity.
How old are you?
I'm 31.
And you're ready to make that commitment?
Yeah, like, I grew up since I'm 5 years old. I've loved WWE, and I'm all about it.
Who'd you like growing up?
Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels were my two. But Razor Ramon was number one, believe it or not.
Razor was number one?
I loved Razor, and I just talked about this over there.
Did you like him as a bad guy or as a good guy?
Both. Okay. I just thought he was the coolest thing walking on the planet, and I used to listen to his theme song over and over again and do the little, yeah. Cool is one of the coolest characters in my mind still to this day.
So then what motivated you to just get jacked up? Like, what motivated you to become or are you just a naturally big dude?
I've always been big. When I was a kid, I had the kids in my neighborhood. I always had, like, a muscle on my forearm, a hole in my forearm, and a peak in my bicep without ever touching a weight or...
Wow.
Kids used to say, "What's wrong with you?" And I don't know.
I can destroy you. That's what's wrong with me.
Bump on my arm, and I was always growing up the fastest kid. I always did the best in all the sports, like always number one picked in school, and all that good stuff. And I was very fortunate, and I've always just worked really, really hard, been very athletic, and been blessed with that. But yeah, it's when I got older, I saw I got into weights my freshman year in high school. They threw me in the weight room. I think I put on 35 pounds my first year. Like,
wow.
And I remember kids were just like, what the hell? And it's, I just fell in love with it. And then as I got older, I ate and I got bigger. And, you know, but I knew to do this, I had to be really, if I want to do this, I want to be the best. I want to be the biggest. So it's.
Is it true that Vince McMahon is a fan of yours? Like from when you were young? That's what all the internet nonsense is.
Wait, what is it now? I'm not.
That Vince McMahon is a fan of yours. Meaning, like, they always used to say, well, Vince McMahon's very high on him. So
yeah.
I've heard
I get along, you know, unbelievably great with Vince McMahon.
You do?
I love, yeah. And the Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. And I don't bother them. I do as I'm told. And it's one of those things, a lot of people bother them all the time and go and for all the wrong reasons. Anytime I ever am going to speak with him, it's because it means something. And I don't throw that opportunity away.
So you don't sit there and be like, well, Vince, you know, I was in the world title match. How come I'm not in a world title match tonight?
You know, but if something truly does mean something to me and I feel like I need to say something, then, and he knows that about me, then I'll go in and speak about it. So like when I was, before I debuted, I was doing the dark matches and all the live events and, but they weren't doing anything with me on TV yet, and I just had enough. I was like, "This." I'm watching all these other guys do. I'm like, "I'm ready to go now. I need to be on TV and doing this." And I just walked right into their office, and Hunter and Vince were in there, and I just said, "Can we please talk?" And they gave me the time, and I was like, "I want to be the guy. I'm ready to go." And I'll never forget. I said something. I'm ready to go for this company. Something along the lines of that. And he stopped me and he goes, our company. And that's when I knew right then. I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
No, it's our company. I'm going to be a part of our company.
So how great does it feel when you're on, first of all, were you nervous when you started Skip Sheffield? That doesn't have the same, like, ride.
Oh,
back,
no,
you know.
It sucks.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's,
yeah. You're like a big muscular cowboy dude.
It was. I do believe if we would have stuck with that, and I was on my, like, I would make the most of it and would have made it work. But
well, of course you do. Power positive thinking.
Positive thinking is, but it's it was one of those things. Dusty Rhodes. I was always kind of Ryback, and I was doing Ryback before in developmental, and it was a little more Terminator based and a little different than what you're seeing right now. But Dusty Rhodes wanted me to do something a little different and just to go all out and be funny, and he knew I can do some funny things. And so I was like, I came up with this whole Skip Sheffield thing. And, little did I know, it got really, really over down in FCW, Florida Championship Wrestling. And, that's what got me noticed to get me up here. And because they always said, get over down there, we'll give you a shot up here to get over because you're learning what to do. because it's much more than, you know, the wrestling is very important, but it, to get over is hard nowadays. So that guy got over down there doing that, and I was, they picked me for that NXT show. I think we were like week two or three, and then, you know, and Vince McMahon came up to me, and I remember at the time my heart kind of was, it was kind of sucked because I wanted to give that a shot because that's what I was doing. He goes, "You're not going to be doing this. You're going to make me millions and millions of dollars being yourself."
He said,
"Yeah." And yeah. He goes, "We're going to get rid of this." He goes, "Don't do it right away, but slowly. Let's." So I was like, "Ah, okay."
But that's got to feel good when Vince McMahon says we're going to make millions and millions of dollars with you, because that means that you also get some of that money, you know?
But at the same time, I was wondering, like, well, what the hell? I got this stupid name still, like.
Yeah.
And I was like, this name is going to.
Oh, so that, so he's like, no, you're not going to be the goofy guy, but you're still going to be Skip Sheffield, and wear a cowboy hat.
Because I've already debuted on TV, and we were just going to ditch all that.
But not change your name.
Yeah, and so that's when Nexus started. I was still, you know, Skip Sheffield, and.
The monstrous Skip Sheffield.
Yeah, anybody with the first name Skip, it's hard to take seriously. Granted, I'm sure there's some real tough guys out there named Skip, but perception-wise, from a selling standpoint, it's hard to sell the name Skip.
Yeah.
So when that injury happened and out a year and a half, it was a blessing in disguise because it allowed people to forget, about that and to come back as my own identity. So.
And how amazing is the feeling when you're in the ring – and you start moving your arm, and like quick, the whole crowd is chanting "Feed me more." Like you're there. Like and I think it kind of took everybody off guard because they're going, "Well, this guy is getting pushed to the main event, and he's barely ever been on TV." But there's aside from John Cena at this moment, who's more over than him?
Yeah,
it's not a deniable thing.
I'm very thankful for it, and the fans have been absolutely great. I came back actually when I was. I was coming back. I was just doing the arm thing before the Feed Me More stuff started. And a lot of people, that guy looks stupid just moving his arms. And it was when the Feed Me More started, I started that. I was like, I'm just going to time it to – because I feel like it's me. It's all the whole power, positive thing, and energy thing. And you're going to laugh at this.
It is.
But even tied into my entrance, when I come out of my entrance, that whole arm thing that people are so confused about is me collecting energy in the arena.
Oh, my God.
That you would probably not even remotely think.
It's like collecting through the palms?
And, it, and then collecting the whole entire energy, and then I just, bam, into myself to wake me up, and that's where the whole wake up and all
and
that.
And you really feel that?
I feel it.
That's you.
It's me. I remember I had explained to Vince, they wanted to know why. They were like, why do you do that? Because it's unique, obviously, if you don't.
Yeah.
It looks like you could just be warming up, but no, it's all energy-based to me. And I told him that, and I knew there is a shot he wasn't going to get. He goes,
"Tell me this.
That's cool."
He did?
Yeah.
When you explained it to him, were you wearing your gear?
No, this was actually earlier in the day.
Oh, okay, because I'm trying to picture like you after a match in the Ryback singlet. You don't understand.
Yeah.
It's like, the power of power, energy.
Power, positive thinking, positive, energy. Yeah, it's all tied together.
With the Ryback arm strips on
it. Yeah, so no, but it was just workout clothes and but that whole thing is just me. Just it's all energy and just the whole thing.
That's amazing. Yeah. So, when you go out and in the beginning, and people are chanting Goldberg at you, are you starting to think, oh boy, like maybe this isn't going to work?
No, never. I knew that caught him. And the whole reason that even started was because WWE.com, the great people over there, they messed up once though with me. Is they put a thing that I channel Ryback after like week two or three. I channel these five guys for my matches, but enough people saw it. It was up for like a week or two.
Which five guys?
It was Goldberg number one, believe it or not.
And so what? And then the headline is a picture of you and Goldberg?
It was me and Goldberg like together, and like they probably thought it was a great, oh, we can get this guy a rub from this. No, stupid idiots. It's the wrong last thing I need. I don't want any help with any of this. And they had like other guys on there too, but that was the main one.
Yeah.
Literally the next week.
That's what started it.
I'm a firm believer that's what started it.
And you're like, you can't, it doesn't work if you compare me to
others. We don't like him, and I heard Vince doesn't like the chants or didn't like him. I'm like, well, we got to have some control over this. And I'm like, why? So, but it never bothered me. I knew that fans were very loyal to him because he was the top of WCW.
Of course.
Came in here and had a good run.
But when Goldberg was the top of WCW, nobody was sitting there going, you know, Goldberg's like Stone Cold.
Yeah.
And then, because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, it sucks though. That you know, you kind of have to, you create this character and you hone it, yep. and and then somebody else can kind of fuck with it over here.
But I knew, again, positive thinking, and it was I knew in time people would become loyal to me, and it would get rid of it, and we've done that. And last week, it's just pretty much now a Monday Night Raw thing. There'll be a few smart Alex, you know, they'll try to do Goldberg, but it gets overwhelmed instantly with Feed Me More. So
why, when they're setting up WrestleMania, and you're wrestling Mark Henry at WrestleMania, the world's strongest man, why did they first do that thing where you were supposedly in the tag match against the Shield, and then like they just announce you for it, and then they pull you from it? And like,
I was expecting to do double duty. I didn't know. That would have been pretty cool.
Because they were setting up the Mark Henry thing already.
Yeah, it was,
and then they announce
like,
you from the tag, and then they pull you from the tag.
Yeah, I don't know. WWE, you know, it's one day this, one day the next. You never know what you're going to get. So, you know, I do want my revenge on the Shield eventually, because that is unfinished business. But I think from a career-defining moment standpoint for me, shell-shocking Mark Henry at WrestleMania is going to be...
That's the moment people are waiting for.
Yeah, and it's going to be something that's going to be replayed, you know, years and years ahead. And
when you, here's my question, real quick, because I think we're running out of space on our cart, but when you shell-shocked Albert way back and you couldn't get him up, was that just a slip? Was that them testing you?
I have, to this day, it still blows my mind that happened. That was one of those things. He's a large man anyways. Weight-wise, though, it was never an issue. But with the larger guys, I usually muscle the guys up over my head. Mm-hmm. The guys with the larger stomachs, I got to tuck my head because I can't.
Right.
You can't pick up a – it's just physically impossible.
Yeah.
So – and we had just done it the week before on SmackDown, no problem.
Yeah.
Actually, then Raw came around, and a lot of people – I don't like to use excuses, but I was definitely sick that day. Like, the flu, just miserable, but still – strength-wise, felt fine. Like, I shouldn't have been a problem. I just believe I hooked my head high on him that day. I didn't get low enough.
Gotcha.
And he would never go out there and try to sabotage anything. And if that was a test, it didn't bother me at all.
I say,
I'm a home run hitter. I go out there and swing for the fences. We've taken a lot of chances with this whole thing, me picking up two guys numerous times.
And it works.
And it works. So sometimes you hit, sometimes you miss. So.
You're a very interesting guy, Ryback.
Thank you,
man. I'm glad we talked.
Me too. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
Here is Sam Roberts.
And there he was, the big guy, the Ryback, who will be defending that Intercontinental title at Night of Champions this weekend against Kevin Owens. I'm anxious to see it. I think Kevin Owens is a good opponent for Ryback. I think Ryback is a good opponent for Kevin Owens. You know, it was a mystery as to what was going to be done with Kevin Owens after his feud with John Cena. You know, you got a clean victory over Cesaro. Well, we'll get into that in the State of Wrestling this week. First, I wanted to remind everybody to please support the podcast. If you can do that, you can do it one way specifically. Well, yeah, I mean, you can tell all your friends about it and get new people to subscribe and download as much as humanly possible. But if you really want to make a difference, then why don't you go ahead and go to prowrestlingtees.com/Sam Roberts. That's prowrestlingtees.com/Sam Roberts. You can get yourself a Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast shirt. You can get yourself a Not Sam shirt. You can get a What's the Hap shirt. You can get my favorite, the Not Sam Mode t-shirt. I can't tell you how excited I was when I was sitting at the NXT TakeOver event in Brooklyn. And I'm sitting there, and I look all the way across the arena, and I don't know how it caught my eye. It was literally the entire way across the Barclays Center. But I saw a red t-shirt in the crowd, and I looked at it, and it was somebody way across the building wearing a Not Sam Mode t-shirt. I will never forget that. It made my day. I think it's hilarious. We've got a lot of Not Sam Mode to talk about. We got a lot of Brie Mode to talk about, a lot of Divas to talk about. You know, that was a big part of Raw this week was the Divas. We got to talk about all the people that are possibly or that could potentially return to WWE. We got to talk about Night of Champions. We got to talk about Sting. So much to get into here this week on the State of Wrestling. Gadget Guru, award-winning visionary, Emmy Award winner. That's very impressive. Katie Linendoll is back here on the Wrestling Podcast. I don't know. I think I'm going to have to tell her. Yeah, I mean, if you haven't heard last week's podcast, definitely listen to the State of Wrestling. Go back, maybe pause this, go back, listen to it now. Because Nikki Bella joined us via satellite she chimed in. It was a quick one. It was about 30 seconds, but still, it was impactful. We're going to talk about it. Let's talk about all of it right now, here, on the State of Wrestling, on Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. It's going to be a good one.
It's now time for this week's State of Wrestling.
Look who's back. It's the State of Wrestling, and Katie Linendahl has made her triumphant return. Hello, Katie.
Yes.
Yes. How are you?
Well, I'm so excited. Bottles are popping. People are dancing.
You know, I don't know. I don't want to.
And the Bella, I feel like I'm ramping it up too soon. Am I hulking out too early?
I don't know if you know this or not.
Hulking out too early? Are we going there?
I had Nikki Bella via satellite on the podcast last week.
No, you did not.
What are you talking about?
Not.
Yes, I did.
Don't lie to me.
And she brought up the Bellabration. And
you did not.
She called you a troll. Yeah. Yeah.
A troll.
And then I lost her connection somehow.
A troll.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can't be, I didn't know if you heard last week's show, but I didn't want that to go unmentioned. I didn't want you to not know that happened.
Well, did you stick up for me?
I lost the connection before I had the chance.
Sam.
Well, what can I do? It's technology. You
have
know
my
technology.
Back.
I would have had your back face to face, but, you know, Little Miss Technology failed you. You know?
Failed me.
That's right. Because I wasn't able to defend you properly. I mean, it didn't fail me. She said I was.
Well, then this feud isn't over. It's just
I got invited to the Bellabration. It wasn't a failure for me at all.
Yeah, I didn't get an invite.
No, she said to you. That
you know what? I've heard from several of our listeners, and they didn't get invites either.
Because they're all loyal to you instead of me.
Well, they're smart.
I'm in Brie mode.
They're smart.
Let's talk about some wrestling, Katie.
Yes.
So much to talk about this week. There's actually TNA stuff that we're going to talk about. It's more in reference to people returning to WWE, because there's a whole chain of people that are now being rumored to be coming back to WWE now that the Dudley Boys
from
are back.
From TNA?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, they came from WWE.
How
went to TNA
this
and
is
now
good stuff. How reliable are these sources that have provided said information?
They're not the most reliable, but it is a matter of, like, the fact is TNA financially may not be able to afford some of the higher contract guys. Some of the guys that they're paying more money for. And really, I think for TNA's best interest, they should not have a roster full of people that made their bones in other promotions. They should have a roster full of people that are TNA-branded talent. People like, you know, EC3 mm-hmm. and Bobby Roode and guys like that who really made a name for themselves in TNA are the guys that should be being highlighted by TNA. So I don't think it would be a bad move at all to let some of the legends go.
Well, then that said, let's get to it.
What
are you hearing?
I just don't know if, I mean, there's always going to be a spot for them in WWE, but I don't know if for the future of even WWE, it's a great move. So, and this one has been brought up a lot. A lot of people are talking about the possibility of Kurt Angle having more run in WWE. Having one more run, you know, we'd probably end up with a Kurt Angle Brock Lesnar match that would be exciting. You know, he can still go. I don't know if he can go full time, but he can still pull off great matches.
It's so interesting because I this week on WWE.com, they had, you know, one last match.
Right.
That was like their headline article. And then you talk about somebody like Kurt Angle, who as soon as you say it, I'm thinking, well, the first thing that comes to my mind is the three eyes. But then beyond that.
And Olympians for abstinence.
Sure.
Right.
I'm thinking, how he's really had some injuries with his neck.
I mean, he started injured. He had a broken neck at the Olympics.
So you give him one last run to close out and retire?
There's a weird thing going on.
And what
on.
Happened with him? What was his outro?
Well, he was moved to the ECW brand as an exclusive ECW talent. He was going to be used. They signed a lot of the ECW legends. Then they brought in sort of new talent. And then they brought in a couple of guys. I think his role was eventually given to Chris Benoit, because Benoit became the sort of main roster new ECW dude, right? But before that, when it was first launched, Kurt Angle was the guy. I saw Kurt Angle's last show for WWE was an ECW house show. They actually ran ECW as a separate brand and had them doing house shows
by themselves.
What year was that?
It was 2000, mid-2000s. It was at the Westchester County Center.
Like 2004, 5 maybe?
Yeah. And it was Kurt Angle versus Rob Van Dam. And it was a great match, and it was cool to see and everything, but obviously the ECW thing did not work.
What's the benefit? I'm going to pull a card from Paul Heyman. What's the benefit of bringing back somebody like Kurt Angle, which, of course, a lot of respect, great athlete.
Well, that's the question.
Then bringing up – and I referenced Paul Heyman this because he was talking about like how he got in trouble saying – I was asking him who he would pull up from NXT, and he said he's always about pulling up a younger card. He said he got asked if he could take over the Yankees. He said he'd fire all of them and bring up new young guys. Do you bring up the new, young, fresh blood? And why bring back these older guys? Because they're iconic?
Well, when you're doing that, if you're doing that for the Yankees, for instance, then you have to be okay with the fact that the next couple of seasons are not going to be great seasons. And that
that's not the case here, though.
And that you're putting money – well, it is the case in terms of you're not going to get that shot in the arm that Kurt Angle's going to give you. Meaning,
yeah, but that's short-lived because we exactly just for the reasons we just talked about.
Exactly. So you're now debating whether you want what's the value.
Why can't you live in both of those worlds
of this short term? You can, and that's what they're doing with Brock Lesnar. But is there a benefit? You know, the Dudley Boys are back. Is there a benefit? Okay, everybody's very excited. A lot of eyes are on the TV screen. I'm interested in seeing the Dudley Boys. They're still good, and Bubba is probably as good as he's ever been now. But bringing back guys that have been around forever and putting them over your new guys, is that smart business long term? I can't say it is for sure.
So Kurt Angle's an interesting one.
So Kurt Angle's one name. The other name,
Bigfoot.
Bigfoot is locked under a TNA contract.
Oh,
it's non compete. He's
smart.
Not going anywhere.
It was
yeah,
smart.
Yeah. But the other name that's being bandied about is Jeff Hardy.
See, he was on .com this week. What
right.
a tease. It's
right.
all making sense. It's all connecting.
Right. And with Jeff Hardy, do you bring in Matt? Do you do a Hardy Boys thing? Do you bring back Jeff Hardy? Jeff Hardy has had an interesting career because every time he's left WWE, it's been at the height of something. He left WWE the last time as the arguably number one good guy behind John Cena in the company. He was in a main event world title feud with CM Punk when he left. So it's not like he's faded out. He's never fizzled out. He's just like, okay, it's time to go. And he leaves on top.
I actually said the last match I saw with him in TNA is that one he had a diving off the top on the steel cage. I think he got injured on for quite a while.
Well, if he was a human being, he would have gotten injured. This is the one that happened at the Hammerstein.
Was that like 6 months ago?
At the Manhattan Center. Yeah, it was about that. It was the beginning of this year-ish. And he fell off the top of the cage and landed head first on the steel steps.
Brutal.
But he does this thing.
Point there is he's still got the moves, obviously.
Not only does he still have the moves, he's got this inhuman ability where people say when you're in a drunk driving accident, you're less likely to get injured as the drunk person than the sober passenger because the drunk person doesn't really know what's going on. He's not tensed up. He's not worried about anything. His body just moves with whatever. He's just completely loose because when you get into a car accident and you're sober, you tense up. Because you get nervous, right? So when you tense up, you're more likely to have an injury. You're more likely to break something. Jeff Hardy, when he falls, whether it's by accident or on purpose, he does it as if he's completely intoxicated. Not in the sense that he doesn't know where he's at. In the sense that, like, he doesn't care. Like, his body's just like, okay, we're just moving now. And I'm like, no, you're headed off a cage head first onto a steel step. But it's stuff, for some reason, he doesn't have that thing that clicks in like, I'm in danger. Oh, no. Uh-huh. And he doesn't have that tense moment. And I think that's one of the reasons why he doesn't get injured when he falls. Because he really hasn't had a lot of injuries for the amount of stuff that he's done. He just lets his body become this rag doll. And when you do that, I guess that's like the secret. Like Ryback was saying, that's the secret. He believes his body is a rag doll. So it's a rag doll.
Okay.
You know? But he's also had a lot of drug issues. You know, and he's had to come and go and do all this stuff. You know, obviously he's going to be a big draw in WWE. I think everybody would be very, very excited if Jeff Hardy came back. But, you know, I think that...
Do you think that's a short-term contract?
I do.
A one-off or a long-term?
Well, I don't think it's a one-off. I don't think Jeff Hardy is the guy that you're going to say, okay, Jeff Hardy returns for one night only and here's the dream match. Jeff Hardy is not a dream match guy. Jeff Hardy is a guy that that has a run.
Did you stop tapping over there?
No, I fidget.
Hyperactive.
Well, you know, it happens. I'm nervous around you.
Okay.
Jeff Hardy is a guy who has one more run. You understand? Like, not one more match. Kurt Angle maybe could be set up. Kurt Angle could be more in a Brock Lesnar Sting position where he comes in just
for specialty
matches.
I feel like
people
would be way more excited, call me crazy, for Hardy than Angle.
Well, I think it would be a different thing. I think Hardy would have to come back and join the roster, and Angle would come back as a dream match type
of... Top tier type deal.
Yeah, I think that's the way it would have to work. And that being said, yeah, I think you're right. Those are where those two fit in. I don't think Kurt Angle has a spot actively on the main roster regularly on WWE TV. I'm Kurt Angle, and I'm part of this roster. I don't think it makes sense. It doesn't look right. He's older than everybody. He's from a different era. It doesn't work. But in a terms of, hey, wow, Kurt Angle's here on Raw. I didn't think he was going to be here, and he's here to announce that he's going to be at WrestleMania. That's got some noteworthiness to it. But I really think that WWE should probably, in my opinion, be spending about half the amount of time they are with specialty guys like Brock Lesnar, like Sting, like Kurt Angle would be, and twice as much time working on developing talent. I mean, there's no reason why Seth Rollins can't be as big as Jeff Hardy, Kurt Angle, Shawn Michaels, any of these guys. And if they would spend some time investing in guys like Seth Rollins, investing in Roman Reigns, and really investing, like getting some good stories behind them, giving us some reasons to care about them, then I think they'd be in a much better position, because these short-term things are not gonna work. I mean, quite honestly, we've got Sting. Sting is the specialty guy in the company right now. Brock Lesnar's not around. Sting is there. He's in the world title match at this next pay-per-view. That world title spot could probably be better served with somebody who's on the roster full-time. Add that to the fact that people were critical of his segment on Raw last week with the statue. I didn't mind it. I thought Goofy Sting was okay. I think it worked for what it was. But Katie, when he was returning for WrestleMania, I said one thing. I said one thing about this Sting return. If nothing else, do not let that man in the ring if he is wrestling in a t-shirt. The last thing in the world that anybody wants to see is the man they call Sting wrestling in a t-shirt.
We've been over this, people.
It's like
it's
the fat kid in a swimming pool. Guess what, fat kid? You still look fat because your shirt is clinging to all your fat.
It's not very nice, Sam.
But it's not hiding anything is the point. It looks worse. You know who I have admiration for? The fat kid in the pool that's like, look how fat I am. Ladies love it. Biggie Smalls probably would have gotten into the pool with no shirt on. He totally did. You know, and he owned it. And he had sex
you
with
You were
little,
really
he
upset
had sex,
with it.
He had sex with Lil' Kim. So, I don't think he would have gotten to do okay. that if he had a shirt on, is what I'm saying, in the pool. He shows up on Raw.
Maybe they have to, maybe he should just hit the gym. He's taking too many, like, ideas from ZZ. I mean, when he walked out off the ramp yesterday, I was like, I'm more jacked than him.
Who knows? He had this stupid shirt on covering everything.
I will challenge him right now.
To an ab off?
Pull up contest. Yeah, that's my question.
Katie Lindendahl versus Sting.
Grew up in a military family, people. We don't mess around.
He comes out, no jacket on, no kind of looming anything, just a guy with Sting face paint on in a t-shirt and tights. Then I have to believe that the match that we saw on Raw this week with Sting and Big Show, which turned into the tag match, had to be an extremely last-minute plan.
Well, and I feel like this. Everybody was waiting for this ramp up, and then it was like Big Show, and we're like, oh, not on the season premiere.
The season premiere. Of all episodes.
The season premiere.
Right.
Did you know it was the season premiere?
I don't know. I, if that's the case, then last week's season finale.
Nobody was playing drinking bingo.
I feel like the season finale was a little weak last week.
I don't care if it's the season premiere or the season finale, as long as that damn dog show doesn't come on and right. surprise me. That was like bringing back a host of unpleasant associations to my youth.
Right. As long as there's no preemption.
Yeah. We got the dog show.
Right. The Westminster Kennel Club. What?
No!
What?
Anyways, can we get back to this roster thing? Because I feel like that we need to close a loop here. Because mm-hmm. I have on my short list of questions for you,
mm-hmm.
I think this is a much longer conversation about directions. And I think they're going in more directions than ever before. And we've talked about that with Samoa Joe and the one-offs. Now the Dudley's back. And now you're talking about Hardy and Angle.
True.
I like to play a game called What the Florida?
Okay.
Which kind of segues into What the Florida NXT. Because I'm curious as to when do you pull a guy? I feel like people are getting pushes, like ebbs and flows. Tyler Breeze, for example. I uh-huh. feel like he's getting kind of pushed off. Like, when does he come up and get a little push?
I mean, that's the thing about NXT is it's becoming.
And then you see Apollo Crews kind of come in as an example and kind of clips Tyler Breeze in a way.
Right, because.
When does a Blake and Murphy, does an Alexa Bliss keep on? Like, where do these people.
Well, there's a couple things at play.
I understand it's developmental. I get that.
But, you know, you're right. But at
there's
some point, it's not.
Bigger names where it's like, when are we making a move?
Well, there's a couple things at play, I think. Number one, there's timing. So when somebody like Tyler Breeze came on, he was actually built in NXT, right? So he was not this sort of buzzworthy signee.
But that's your point about ramping somebody up that you could have long term.
Exactly. When people, and I've seen it at SiriusXM where I work, when people get a shiny new toy, when they get a celebrity to do a radio show, all the attention goes to the fact that they have a celebrity doing a radio show because it's buzzworthy, because in this moment people are talking about it and they get very excited, the bosses I'm talking about. I have to imagine that it works the same way in WWE, regardless if it's Vince McMahon, if it's Triple H. They see, oh, we got this indie star making all this buzz on the internet because we signed him. Whether it's Devitt, whether it's Samoa Joe, whether it's Kevin Owens, whether it's Apollo Crews. You know, they get all this buzz because they've signed this guy, and they want to take advantage of it. So they put the spotlight on him, and what that does is it creates a danger of taking the spotlight away from people who are your homegrown talent. And quite honestly, and this is what we're talking about with TNA, homegrown talent for any organization is the most valuable thing you can have, because not only do you have the opportunity to create a star, but it reflects well on your organization. If it's a homegrown talent, it's not somebody who is just sort of independently awesome, you know? So I think Tyler Breeze is in a dangerous position where, and the same thing for Enzo and Cass. There are those guys who are homegrown talent, and all of a sudden they're stuck in this position where, uh-oh, these indie guys that are getting signed are buzzworthy. So they're creating news. So they're getting a spotlight thrown on them. And don't worry, you've always been there, so you'll always be there. We'll have time for you once this buzz dies down. Oh, here's some more buzz. And you have to do a lot to not get lost in that shuffle, I think.
Well, I guess in asking you that question, I go back to my theory in that you can have both worlds.
You can have both worlds, but you have to be very, very conscious of both worlds. You can't be an in-the-moment thinker. You have to be very, very conscious of both worlds, of what we're doing on this end, of what we're doing on that end. That's super important, and it's really, really difficult to do when you're running a day-to-day organization, you know? It's a difficult thing to be able to successfully pull off both. And you certainly can't do it if one of your guys is wrestling in a t-shirt. How's that for a loop close?
I was just going to say that.
Huh?
Well done. Oh, we have to take a break. This is our we have to run those two promos.
What promos?
This is our first promo that we've ever had to run, so just bear with us here. Look, this has been my story, and it's just ended and started at the same time. The countdown is over, and it's the Bellibration of the decade. Thanks to some Refgate and Twin Magic, I'm officially the longest-running NWA Cruiserweight Champion.
None of those words.
Come on, Nikki! Look, if that Charlotte thinks she's going to bedazzle her face and bring her dad in for support, and she's going to beat me? Well, she's wrong, because she can look back and say, who now is the WWE longest reigning martial arts champion of all time?
Stevas.
Look at that Bellatron.
Yeah, thanks for the promo from Nikki Bella.
We were,
I guess,
told we had to run those in the studio this week.
Who told you that?
That guy that looks really important.
I don't know if that was that John Laurinaitis, because if
it
so,
was. Yeah, that's who it was.
He's marrying the Bella's mother. That's,
oh my
that's,
God.
That's you shouldn't
it
have
all
trusted
makes
him.
Sense.
You shouldn't have trusted him.
You know,
but you know what? Let's talk about it. The Divas had a great night on Raw. I would say I like watching Sasha and Paige go.
Oh yeah,
they're ferocious.
Totes.
They love fighting each other like Finley.
Yeah.
And then, did you think that Charlotte was going to win the Divas Championship? Me neither. I said no. First of all, definitely once Twin Magic took place. I mean, that literally is the same finish that we've seen three times. So I at no point did I, like, watching Brie, like, rip the stuffing out of her top. I'm like, no, I know. I remember how this goes from before.
Our friend of the podcast, Nutmeg, had a good point, though. It's not really Twin Magic when the twins look now completely almost fraternal.
It might as well be Alicia Fox and Nikki doing twin magic. Yeah. Like they have that much differential.
Come on, Nikki.
I there was. She gave us a come on, Nikki last night. Did you hear it?
And people are starting to recognize it.
Come on, Nikki.
Come on, Nikki.
That's my favorite. It's my favorite.
How did you spend your year? It's not impressive and it's not revolutionary. While you were hanging out with your friends and throwing back a few at stupid baseball games, I was cementing a legacy. That's right. They literally put me and Brie in a molded statue only to have Sting wreck it.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, that they was, did.
That was Seth Rollins.
And then I lost the NWA Cruiserweight Championship in the trash machine.
NWA didn't even have a Cruiserweight Championship.
WCW Hardcore Women's Championship.
They didn't have one of those either.
I'm taking all the defunct titles and earning them out of pure respect.
I don't think you can earn things out of respect.
Took me 2,295 days. And look, it was hard. It was hard work for me and Brie. 7 years of classical voice lessons. And this is,
this
subpar,
is what you've done.
Subpar Nikki Bella.
I'm telling you, not me, or I don't think most of the people who listen to this show can watch a Raw anymore
I've
without doing that
everybody
voice.
And I'm
proud
of it.
I do that voice all the time. I'm happy that Nikki Bella is still Divas champion.
I think it was necessary to keep her champion. I think Charlotte's going to chase it, get it next. But here's my question.
Yes.
Where do – I think – I don't – I like the fantasy book. I would put Eva Marie in this Bella's unit, right?
Okay, because it's the heel group, so it makes sense.
It's the heel group, but I don't know what to do with them after these four horsewomen plus the four horsemen concentrate, because there's kind of more than four because you're adding Paige and Bayley and all that fun stuff. That's a whole separate division right there. So now I feel like you have these bad guys, and then maybe you have Nia Jax kind of be the bodyguard.
Of the Bellas?
Well, of this, like, beauty machine system going.
So you're expanding all the stables.
Where do you? But that's my question. What do you do with them after Charlotte takes the title?
I think you have to
you
now
put them in the mix to chase it back.
I think what you have to do, first of all, I wouldn't call anybody else up. Nia Jax, nobody. Like, I wouldn't call anybody else up right now. There's enough. But I think you do now what you should have done months ago if you actually wanted to do something with these women, and that's create storylines for women.
Well,
that's
how many
not,
times has Nikki Bella's storyline changed? Talking about storylines. We like her, and she worked hard, and then we don't like her. I'm confused.
Well, and there is no, it's just faction warfare right now. It's just, well, you three don't like you three don't like you three. And we just keep pairing up, and then Nikki goes, well, I'm the bully, and I've been champion for a long time. Nikki Bella should be the longest running Divas champion. I will say that. She should be.
I agree with that.
You know, she's earned that for sure. But she has earned it. I'm happy that she's the longest-running Divas champion. But I think that now is the time to maybe concentrate a little less. I'd say keep the Bellas faction alive, because that's a bad guy faction. It works.
If they keep it the bad guy, they can't keep flip-flopping.
No, they can't flip-flop.
It's getting confusing.
But that's what they're doing. They're not creating stories for these women, so nobody's really sure who's a good guy, who's a bad guy, who's this. Who's like there is no story behind any of this, and that's a bad thing.
We always talk about Divas Revolution, but I know we're short on time this week, and I want to make sure to get to two things. I want to get to the mystery Shield owner, Shield member.
That's right.
who we kind of know who the Mystery Shield member is.
Primetime Sam Roberts.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I want to get to, so in no particular order, Kevin Owens. I feel like he's been ramped up then ramped down.
Well,
so your choice. Grab bag.
I like him
in the mystery sack.
Yeah.
It's in the mailbox.
He got his clean victory over Cesaro at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's big. And I hope he wins the Intercontinental Championship. That's a good spot for Kevin Owens to be in.
The Intercontinental Championship.
It's
I literally Googled it the other night.
Intercontinental?
Because I was like, where does that fall? Like, and then, okay, I literally have it down on a wiki, right? It's been called a stepping stone to the heavyweight championship. I feel like the Intercontinental Championship is like tier two. That's Kevin Owens was tier one. Now he's tier two?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely tier two. I mean, he had his John Cena thing, and John Cena beat him multiple times. That's what happens. It's like Bray Wyatt's in the main event, and then John Cena beats him multiple times. Rusev is in the main event, and then John Cena beats him multiple times. Like, that's what happens. And now it's tier two. There's John Cena and Seth Rollins, and then there's tier two. Like, no, Kevin Owens is by no stretch of the imagination. He looked like he might be, but do not get fooled. As of after July, say as of August, Kevin Owens is firmly not a tier one guy. He is not a main event guy. He could be, he should be, but on the television show that's on right now, he's not in that category. But at least he's doing something. And the Intercontinental title is something. And he will bring renewed interest to it. And he'll bring renewed interest
as
to the
Cena
division.
Did the
United States.
Yes.
Yeah, but again, you're confused. You're thinking Kevin Owens is seen a lot. Kevin Owens, you want Kevin Owens to be tier one so badly. And I understand it.
I feel like for a second there, he deserved it. And they were ramping it up.
Look, he
now
can
we're hitting
be.
Deflategate.
That's right. But except it's Kevin Owens' career deflategate.
What, all of a sudden?
Yeah. I mean, he lost a couple times to John
Maybe
Cena.
I'm overthinking this as you did with Sasha Banks.
I never overthought anything
yeah,
with
you
Sasha
did.
Banks.
Yeah, you did. Okay, we got to get to the Shield member.
Well,
because we kind of heard that it was Baron Corbin.
That's what they said in the beginning online. I'm assuming it won't be. Number one, I don't think an arena at a WWE pay-per-view knows who Baron Corbin is.
No. And also, they finally started. I feel like he's very nondescript in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have been following you longer than I have. Been mm-hmm. following NXT for quite a while. I feel like he was, I don't even know what the lone wolf is, man.
He's just starting to pick up speed. If they really go with his.
He's just starting to pick up speed, but also as a bad guy. Like, I love his new promos.
He's good as a bad guy.
You hate him.
Right. Right. He's a good bad guy. I don't think he'll be the Shield member. I don't think he should be the Shield member. I don't think that makes any sense.
But supposedly that image leaked on .com, right?
It did, but that's not. I mean, like I said earlier, I'm quite sure that the reason that Sting had no entrance paraphernalia, no coat, was wrestling in a t-shirt, all this stuff, was because they didn't know they were going to have Sting wrestle a match until the day of. So this idea that they've planned out a month in advance that Baron Corbin is going to be the Shield member and that's not going to change is crazy. You know, maybe they were just using Baron Corbin because he's a tall guy and they can shadow out his image. Like, what if the image that we saw was just the pre-shadowed out image? Like, they have to shadow out a person. When they post the graphic, right? There is a shadow person there. At one point, that was a person.
When I used to work at ESPN, we used to have to, when a guy switched teams, you'd be doing some Photoshop magic on his hat, man.
Totally.
You'd be switching jerseys.
Totally.
And you'd be doing that in 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that was a... I don't think that was a final graphic, mainly because... If they weren't going to announce who the third man was until the pay-per-view... What use would they have with that graphic? Like, why would they need that graphic?
I'll tell you who it's not going to be. You said Solomon Crowe when we were thinking about this a few weeks ago. He's the last person that's going to go up against Braun Strowman.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if it's going to be anybody. I don't think it's going to be a Shield guy. Like, I don't think they're rebuilding the Shield. I think everybody wants them to. I don't think they're rebuilding the Shield. I think there's going to be a mystery tag team partner.
I don't think they know who they're putting in there right now.
I don't think so either, but it'll probably be like, I don't know, who's on the shelf right now? It'll probably be the injured Uso or something. Like, it's not, I think everybody's looking way too much into this.
Well, it's exciting.
It's potentially exciting, but that's as if we haven't watched wrestling before and we don't know that it's not going to be that exciting.
Let's spread a rumor.
Who do you think it is?
You know who I've heard it is?
Who?
Charles Robinson.
No.
I've heard it is. That's the rumor.
I was trying 1 week to not say his name.
Well, here's why we have to bring up.
It gets me hot and I got to pump the brakes because I get mad.
Here's why we have to bring up RefGate.
Still going.
Because TNA, first of all, it is still going. It is so bad. This is what I didn't like. This is what I wanted to say. This is what I didn't like about the Charlotte-Nikki Bella match. Since when is Stephanie McMahon, when does she get to make a decision like she's a referee? Dana White can't come out in a UFC fight.
I didn't
fight.
Think twice about that.
I did. I thought many times about it. I was so annoyed. She's like, well, and since it should have been a disqualification, the title will stay. It's like, you're not a referee. You own the company. Dana White can't go.
That has some clout.
No, it doesn't. Dana White can't go into an octagon and be like, no, actually, he wasn't knocked out. You were wrong about that. He'll sit there and complain about the referees. He'll say these don't.
Who did you want to get up there and?
The fucking referee.
What referee has been on a mic lately?
No, they didn't have to get on a mic. The referee can whisper into Lillian Garcia's ear, like the referee is supposed to do.
Okay, that'll buy.
And say, oh, the referee has reversed his decision. The winner of this match is Charlotte due to disqualification because of outside interference. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I didn't think twice about it.
It really bugged me. It irked me.
Well, a lot of people were mad about that last night.
About the Stephanie McMahon thing?
Well, no, just about the Divas Championship in general.
Well, it's because a lot of people don't like Nikki Bella. I don't think that's right. People think that she's the Divas Champion because she's, you know, dating John Cena, which is absurd.
Yeah.
You know, she's great. She deserves it. She deserves it. But, yeah, I mean, that person, she does not have referee power. Here's the referee thing. Did you hear who's going into the TNA Hall of Fame this year?
Oh, a referee?
Earl Hebner.
I did hear that. I did hear that. Talk about some twin magic.
Yeah, Earl Hebner going in.
Senior referee Earl Hebner.
I don't think TNA should have a Hall of Fame. I don't think they've done enough to build their own story.
What's TNA?
Exactly. I don't think TNA, you know, and I support there being a second organization. I support TNA being out there. But the problem is, everybody that's in the TNA Hall of Fame, the Dudley Boys, Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett's going in. Ask a person on the street where they know those guys from. It's not TNA. Jeff Jarrett, fine. He created TNA. He can be in the Hall of Fame, yeah. But to have a roster in the TNA Hall of Fame full of people that really all you're doing is just trying to get them in your Hall of Fame before WWE puts them in theirs is crazy.
He should take that TNA Memorial VIP trophy and throw it in the trash.
Right.
Like Alundra Blaze threw the championship in the trash.
What's Earl Hebner's most famous thing he ever did?
The screw over.
Okay. What's his second most famous thing he ever did?
Twin Magic?
Yes. We're now on the third most thing he ever did, which I can't even think
of.
Went
to TNA.
Right. You're at third on the list. Maybe.
Do I win a prize?
You do. I'm going to get you a Tatanka t-shirt.
It's like a stainless steel oven. They always do that on Price is Right when it's like a college student that doesn't have any money to buy food. And they're like, wait, what the fuck am I going to do with the stainless steel
it's
oven?
It's a coffee table.
Yay.
Yeah, I mean, if TNA is going to have a Hall of Fame, they need to have veterans. Like, that's like you need to be able to look at somebody and say, that's a TNA legend. You could say that about AJ Styles.
Jeff Jarrett, maybe.
Maybe Jeff Jarrett, yeah. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But other than that, I mean, this is what happens when you make your bones on people who have fame outside of your organization.
That's why we go back to homegrown talent.
Look at us going full circle.
Yep.
I see, said the blind man as he peed into the wind. It all comes back to me.
What?
You get it?
No.
Think about it. It's a thinking man's joke. Well.
Didn't get smarter this week.
Oh, I did.
For sure.
Oh, I did. You're the one who needs to smarten up.
Sam, tell your Sprite co-host she's not smart.
Thank you, Nikki. It's about time somebody noticed. I love watching you get into character, by the way.
I do get
into
character.
You kind of like have to start dipping your head and start getting there. All right, Katie Linendahl. You can all follow Katie Linendahl at Katie Linendahl on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You're going to be all over the place because you're a tech expert, gadget guru, aficionado. You're a visionary, for God's sake. But There's a lot of news coming out of Apple and things like that.
Lots of tech news coming out.
So you're going to be what next week? Kind of all over the place.
Yeah, it's great.
Just on the Today Show the other this week.
Today Show. We got Fox News. Got some CNN. I'll be making the rounds.
Sam Roberts nighttime show on
Sirius
XM. I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm going to get all the scoop. Well, thank you for being here again.
Shiesky.
And we'll see you next week here on Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. You had to say it with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't have the last word by yourself.
No.
Thanks for listening. Follow at Not Sam on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And subscribe for free to listen every week to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast.